Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
All right. Well, welcome and good morning. Good to see everybody here and excited to be with all of you. Also, we know people that are watching online, maybe you're on that tail end of you're squeezing out the last little bit of spring break you can get. And you're watching online, or maybe I know we often have a lot of our students who come back from college and you're heading back today. If you hadn't already head back, it's good to be with you. And hey, can we give it up for everybody watching online in our overflow sections? We love you guys. Appreciate y'all. If you have your Bible, if you would open up to Exodus chapter 17, whether you have the Bible app on your phone or you bring your Bible with you, we will have the words on the screen as well if you didn't bring either one of those. But Exodus chapter 17, a lot going on here at the church, and I won't go into a lot. Ryan went over most of it. We're excited about Easter and Good Friday. Also excited, as soon as the Easter services are over with, they're going to begin construction on our parking lot, so you don't have to dodge puddles on days like today to get to the church. So we're excited to have that kicked off and going. You'll see all that happen. And one other thing I do want to mention to everyone here, everyone watching online as well, as we're moving into after Easter, we're going to have a three-part series called, it's called Family University. And what's happening after that? First, I have a question. How many of y'all have been coming to the church for at least a year or longer? Where are you at in here? Okay. All right. Wow. So a lot of people who haven't. And so how many of y'all remember over a year ago where we had four Sunday services and we had a 1230 video service? Who remembers the 1230 video service? Okay. All right. So most of y'all don't remember this, but we had a 1230 video service, ended up not working out as much as like we wanted to. And so we brought it back into three services. And when we did that, at the time I announced this, I have a board of elders that I am accountable to. And two people on that board are my pastors, Pastor Steve, who always comes in June. So if you want to know who's pastor's pastor? Well, this is who it is, Pastor Steve, and he's coming in June. And then Pastor Jeff Little, he's a pastor as well that comes every November. They're my pastors. And when we went to go to that four service, one thing that they said, Jason, we love you. We love you. And he would say this, and you guys that were here, y'all remember this, you can only preach three live. You can preach three live, and then you need to do a video after that. And they were really, really hardcore about that, and I'll tell you why. They've been around so many pastors, and my pastor, Pastor Steve, he talks about it. He almost burnt out, and whenever he went and talked to the different people to kind of get refreshed, they said the number one reason pastors begin to burn out is because they're preaching four, five, six, seven times on a weekend, and they just never really recover. Matter of fact, I love you guys because so many of y'all began to ask me throughout, before we went to four services, you'd ask, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do, Pastor? Well, we're going to go to four services. Then we started going to four services. You want to know what people asking me? You all right, Pastor? You going to be okay? How you feeling? You're managing stuff? And this is what my pastors, they said, we only want you to preach three and play a video for one because we want you to be a pastor for the next 25 years, not the next two. 10 of y'all want me to be a pastor for 25 years, not, let me try that again, all right? We want you to be the pastor for the next 25 years, not the next two. It's fake, it's not real. You should have done it the first time. No, I'm just playing. I'm playing. So let me tell you what we're gonna do. So I don't want, just tell you exactly what we're doing so you know exactly what's going on. So what we're gonna do is we didn't wanna just have one service that was a video service because we really need everybody to stay in their service or we didn't wanna gut one of the services because it's easy just to go to one of the other ones. So we're actually gonna rotate our video services. Let me tell you how that's gonna work. I'm telling everybody we're not trying to be slick with it. I'm telling you exactly how it's gonna work. The first weekend, the first Sunday of the month, we're gonna record the Saturday night service and play it at the 8 o'clock service, okay? So I'll preach live Saturday and the 9:30, 11:15. The second week, we're gonna play it during the 9:30 service, recorded on Saturday night. Third Sunday of the month, we're gonna record Saturday night and we're gonna play it at the 11:15, this service. And then I'm going to to preach a message on that message for that weekend, the final one on like a Wednesday or Thursday, play it on that Saturday night, and I'll probably take that Saturday night off myself. So this is basically what I'm asking. I'm asking everyone, hey, would you watch the video once a month? And so that way we kind of all share it together. And so it's not one person or one place. Now listen, I just told you the plan. So if you're like, I don't want to watch no video, then just come a little early. That's fine on the week that you know that it's going on. And so because of that as well, we're going to be upgrading some things around here from the video and a couple other screens and stuff so that people can have the best experience that we can have with that. And so that'll be starting not after Easter, a three-week series. We'll begin after that. So I just want to let you know that. And something real humbling and interesting happened to me last service. I was standing right there shaking some hands before God. This happened. I'm walking out there and this older lady came up to me and she shook my hand. She goes, Pastor, she was excited. She goes, it's my first time here. I said, oh, that's great. And I introduced myself and she said, I've been watching you online. It's my first time live. That's awesome. She stopped and she looked at me. I swear, just said, she goes, you look better online. She really did. She says, you're better looking online. So if you want a better experience after Easter, come watch the screen online and then you can rotate with the video or something. Maybe I was getting prideful and the Lord needed to like shoot a little, I don't know what happened, but praise God. All right, let's get into the message here, all right? Exodus chapter 17. Hey, I need you to do something, all right? I need you to look at a person next to you in just a moment, and I just need you to tell them, just take a moment. I want you to tell them, there's a reason for this. Tell them your full name, just the whole name. Go ahead right now. First, middle, last, just tell them full name. Full name, there you go. Good Lord, how long is your name? Some of you have a long, long name. All right, 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 all right. My goodness, you got one of them super long names, right? They keep talking. Did you know, let me tell you, did you know when someone says your name, something comes up in someone's mind? You know, if you're not around and somebody mentions your name, something comes to their mind. It may be positive, it may be negative. A couple weeks ago, a guy came up to me just in the community, and he said, hey, are you Jason? I said, yes. He said, are you the pastor at that church? I said, depends on what you're about to ask me next. And seriously, they asked me, they said, I've heard about you. And I, without even thinking about it, I immediately said, well, it's an exaggeration. And they looked at me funny, and I said, here's the deal. If they said I'm awesome, I'm not that good. But if they say I'm terrible, I'm not that bad. I'm somewhere there in the middle, I promise you. But whenever you say a name, there's something that comes. That's why the Bible says that your name is more precious than gold and silver. It's important. Well, what we're doing is we're going over the names of God. And there's all these names of God, and the children of Israel, the Jewish people back in biblical times, they would put these names of God, Jehovah, these different names, and it gave characteristics of who God is. And the importance of the characteristics of who God is when we see who God is, it can remind us that's who God is. And so I can walk in confidence, I can walk in trust that he will be who he is in my life. And so these are all the different names we went over. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jehovah Shammah, the one y'all watched the video. You know the one I looked a lot better in? That one? So Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And so, yeah, Pastor, I understand he's there when I'm doing well, but not so much. No. Never will he leave you or forsake you. No matter what you may be walking in, Jehovah Shammah, he's there. Last week, Pastor Matt, he talked about how Jehovah Shalom, God our peace, that even if there's a storm going on, there can be chaos all around, but peace in here. Why? Because he is Jehovah Shalom, our peace, and he lives in us. Today, I was looking at all these names, and I could pick easy one to preach. I could pick Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And you'd be, amen, Pastor, that's good. He's gonna take care of us. Amen, Pastor, that's good. but I wanted something a little bit more obscure, maybe something a little different that maybe you never even heard a message on. And so I picked, we're going to do Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. So Exodus chapter 17, let me set up the story. The children of Israel, they had been in captivity with the Egyptians. And then God raises up a deliverer. Moses goes and let my people go to Pharaoh. He takes them, and eventually after a whole slew of events, just dramatic, awesome story. Come on, you saw the Prince of Egypt. You know what I'm saying. It's good stuff. Took the children of Israel, went across the Red Sea. As soon as they got across the Red Sea, they're in the wilderness and they start complaining. We're hungry. We're hungry. Moses prays to God and God sends manna. They start eating manna after a while. And after a while, they get tired of manna. And they say, man, we wish we had some meat. And so Moses prayed, and now quail comes. So manna and quail come, and they're like, man, we're eating finally. Then they start complaining. We're thirsty. And so then we see a scenario where Moses goes, and water comes from a rock, and now they can drink. So all this happens. Delivered from the Egyptians. Cross over a Red Sea. Miracle, manna and quail come. Water coming from a rock. Amazing. Then right after that, the Amalekites, the enemies of the Israelites, boom, attack them. How many of y'all know that's a rough couple weeks? All this stuff happening. And then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere. They're trying to take steps forward to get delivered, go through the wilderness to get to their promise, and boom, something hits them. Maybe that's happened to you. You ever make a decision? You know, we're going to start going to church. Then all of a sudden, boom. Man, we were fine. All hell broke loose. You know? You decide, you know, I'm going to start reading the Bible. Then all of a sudden, boom, something happens with your job. You're like, whoa, what's going on here? Maybe this similar, something might happen even to you. Hey, you know, I'm going to lead that group. I'm going to join that team. Pastor's always talking about the next steps and small groups and all that. You know, I'm going to do it. Then all of a sudden, boom, your teenager gets demon possessed. Starts having their own opinion. And you're like, I don't know. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It's like, all of a sudden, boom, something comes along your way. This is what happened here. Why does that happen? I'm going to tell you why that happened. Because the enemy of your soul is trying to stop your destiny before it starts. If I could stop you before you even get going, you know what? Hey, that's what he's trying to do. So Exodus 17. Now we pick up the story. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men, and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Pause. You have Moses and Joshua. Joshua's a key person. We'll learn more about him in just a minute. Moses goes to Joshua and says, hey, there's an army there to fight us. I have a plan. You go fight them. I'm going to go on that hill over there. How many of y'all know that's a raw, that seems like a bad deal right there. If somebody came up to you and said, hey, listen, you go fight, I'm going to go over there. You'd be like, how about we both go fight, right? But something's going on here. He sees something that's happening. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands were made steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. Joshua needs to know this. Because I will completely blot out the name of the Amalekites from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and called it, here it is, the Lord is my banner. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for what you're doing. And God, I just pray you would help me to share your words, Lord God, as we learn from you, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, that's all of our banners. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to give you today three lessons on the battlefield. We're going to look into this story. I'm going to give you three lessons from the battlefield and Jehovah Nissi and how this actually applies to our life. Now, when we say God is our banner, it's like, what does that even mean? It doesn't mean like, okay, we're driving down the interstate and you see a banner on the side and it's marketing something. It doesn't mean quite that, because the context in which we're talking about the Lord being our banner in this portion of scripture, it's all about war. They're in the middle of a battle. They're in the middle of a war. And they say after the war that he is our banner. So that's important detail to know, because during those times, it's not like we have now. They didn't have satellites and drones and coordinates and all these things to help with the battlefield. You know what they had to help communicate in the battle? It was these banners, or flags is what they would have. Come on, you watch some old ancient movie or some war movie and you would see these banners go up. So while you were in the middle of the fight in the battle, you could look up and you could see what the orders are. And you could see the banner and you could know what direction you need to go in. So there's three things that the banner did. It helped give you direction. Okay, hey, we're all supposed to rally back to where the banner is. Let's go to where it is. It would also give you some more instruction. It would tell you what to do. Hey, flank to the left, to the right. Hey, we're running. And then it would ultimately do this. That flag, it represented who you were representing. So if the flag came down, then you knew you lost. We would see in war movies, if you ever saw that flag came down, that means they were overran and now the fight is over. And that's where we get the game. Come on, capture the flag from. If you can go get their flag, you win. It's their banner. So when we say Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, it's saying when you're in the middle of the fight, when you're in the middle of the battle, what's going on? Look up to Jesus. Look up to God. Look up to the author and the finisher of our faith. He'll remind you who you are, and he'll tell you where to go and what to do. It's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Now, let me drill a little deeper. Let's go a little bit deeper and get a little bit more applicable with the actual story. We're going to go back through the story, and I want to give you the three lessons learned from the battlefield. Number one, now this number one is not going to make sense when you read it up here. Like, the sentence doesn't make sense. The guys in the back, they're like, this sentence doesn't make sense. It makes sense in the context of what we're talking about here, okay? The first one is this. What you focus on up here determines if you win the battle down there. What you focus on here determines if you win the battle down there. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. What am I saying? When we get caught up in the circumstances of life, the battle of life, where do you look for your strength? Where do you look for your hope? Do you look in it in yourself? Do you look for it in your own, what you can pull off, what you can manage to make happen? Or do you look for something bigger than yourself? Can I tell you what's happening all throughout the country? This is so encouraging to me. I'm talking to pastor friends and people that I know, and I'll tell you what I mean. I'm hearing about churches blowing up, exploding, people coming, giving their hearts to Jesus all over America. I am. I'm hearing about this church is growing 40%. This church is growing half, this church, all these different. We're not the only ones. There's people all around. You want to know why? Because our country and our world has looked for their hope in so many things, and they're finally saying, is there something more than this? I'm tired. And they, yes, there is. And people are looking for something bigger. They're looking up, looking for the back. Jehovah Nisi, I'm looking for direction. I'm looking for what to do, and I'm looking on where to focus. Speaking of where to focus, I was thinking about a way to help illustrate what we're watching giving us direction. It made me start to think of a pet peeve of mine. And it's a, I don't have a lot of pet peeves, but I have a few. And the few I have, like, they bother me. Matter of fact, I want to just ask a question. Let's have confession moment in church. If you're online, you can just raise your hand, okay? Okay, if it's you. Confession moment. How many of you have a lot of pet peeves? Come on, just be honest. You have a lot of pet peeves. Come on, I've done frustrated you 3 times already in service. He does that. It drives me crazy, all right? Got a lot of pet peeves. Last service, I looked over here, and one person grabbed somebody else's arm and put it up in the air. And I was like, hold on now. So, how many of you like me? You just have a few pet peeves. You have a few pet peeves. Okay, here's my pet peeve. I can't stand it when you're waiting at a red light and the person in front, it turns green and they don't move because they are looking at their phone.
Good word.
Come on, thank you, man of God. Like, if you do that, just repent. Repent to Jesus. And listen, I know how this whole thing works. So I know how most of these red lights work. So it's like, I know I'm like five or six cars down. And I know if you're the sixth car down and they don't go right away, I'm going to get caught on the next red light. Come on, I'll get more amens on this point than anything else. And so it's like, it drives me nuts. My wife knows it because if we sit there for more than 2 seconds, she knows she's about to hear from me. They're on their phone. I'm so aggravated and frustrated. And come on, I'm hitting the horn. I'm going to do it, all right? But I've learned this. Horns talk. Did you know you communicate with your horn? If you're watching from somewhere other than Houston, then you don't understand this. But we communicate through our horn. There's two, y'all know what I'm talking about? The first one is this. Beep, beep. Does everybody know what beep, beep is? Beep, beep is like, hey, come on, buddy. All right, buddy. All right, hey, pay attention a little bit. All right, hey. It's like nice. It's nice horn, right? It's beep, beep. Did you know there's a yo mama horn? That's, yo mama get moving, boy. You know, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. We got, come on, man, you got to go. And I'm a pastor, you know. I don't have the Church of the King decal on the back anymore for strategic purposes. Beep, beep. You get one beep, beep. Then your mama's coming out. You know what I'm saying? So, look, this week, some of y'all are going to do a your mama horn. You're going to be like, wait, I told that person their mama. All right, so anyway, say, come on, man. Because I don't know what you watch, but it's not that important. And what's happening is they're so preoccupied with something that, by the way, you're not that important, I promise you. You can wait. Come on. And sitting there, I can tell the pet peeves coming out. Brother went after the pet. Oh, so anyway. But see, what happens, you get so caught up here that if you're not focusing at the right thing on what's up here, then you don't know when it's time to go. And when it's time to stop. And when it's time to be patient. You don't know when to do that because you're so caught up in this that you don't see this. And I wonder how many of us at times we get so caught up in what's here that we're not looking to the banner. And he says, hey, it's time to go. Hey, it's time to forgive. Hey, it's time to press in. Hey, it's time to get involved. Hey, but I'm caught up in all this stuff, and when am I going to do that? Hey, get connected, trust me. And we don't always see that because we're caught up. We win the battle down here by being what's focused up there. Pastor, that just seems so spiritual and stuff. It is. Because in Zechariah 4:6, it says this, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord. What you focus on, you move towards. Three lessons learned, the battlefield. Number one, it's what you focus on up here determines whether we win the battle down here. Number two is this. We're digging deep just into this story. We need others to support and remind us who the battle belongs to. By the way, the battle, it belongs to the Lord. You may lose the battle here, but we will win the war because he is in charge. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. Ecclesiastes 17:12 says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. We need others. How many? We need others from time to time to say, hey, quit being caught with the stuff here. Let's look up and see. He's in charge. He's our banner. He's the one we look to. He's the one that's going to give us instruction. He's the one that's going to help us. He's the one. We need others. This last couple weeks we've had some real challenging things going on with different families in our church. I'm not talking about with families have had some challenging scenarios come up in our church. Quite a few, actually. It's crazy. It comes in waves at times, and there's two families in particular. One had something happen, and And they know who they are. They might be watching online right now. They're probably watching online right now. Though I'll pray, Stephanie, I love you, praying for you, and you're going to get through this. And then there's another one, another family that had a tragic situation that came up and happened. Both of them, as soon as I found out about it, I said, give me the number right away, and I called them as soon as I could. The first person I called, I'm talking about how we need others to lift up our arms, others to show us and point us towards God in our lives. So we see in this story. I called the first one, and they said, Pastor, thank you so much for calling, but I just want you to know, we've been in a small group, and they're taking care of everything. They're sending us food, and they're checking in on us, and they're praying for us, and whatever they need. And so I'm glad you called, but we're good. The other one I found out a couple days later, and I called immediately, hey, what's going on? And you know, they're part of a team. They're part of one of the dream teams. And they said, Pastor, thanks for calling. I said, but the team's been taking care and calling and checking and doing all these things for us. And they've been there to support us. And I just wanted to say this. I just want to say this public. Church, great job. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you for being spiritual family and not just a gathering. Is that why you always, yes, that's why I'm trying to always get you, because we all get to a place, what happened here, that we get tired. We get tired. I don't care how strong you are. Eventually, you get tired, and we need others to come around and help hold our hands up. Guess what? Your pastor has that. I've had times people help hold my hands up. I've needed that. There's another part to this that I want to make sure I don't pass by. It's in verse 13 and 14. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. So they won. Now watch this. Then the Lord, this is what God told Moses. God told Moses, write this on a scroll, something to be remembered. By the way, when God does a great victory in your life, man, make sure you remember that. Tell somebody. Write it down. Put it in a journal, whatever you may do. That's why when we come and we sang that last song, I trust in God. You want to know why? Because I cried out to him. He heard me, and he answered. I held my wife's hand during the second service. We held each other's hand, and we're just thinking of the things that God, he answered. He answered. Yes. Don't forget it. Students that are going to go off to college one day, and all of a sudden all this is going to come at you, and you'll be like, is God even real? Yes, he is. You remember how you felt at camp? Yeah. You remember how you felt in youth service? That wasn't games. That wasn't emotions. That was the presence of God that put an anchor in your soul. Yeah. Don't let the enemy come and steal that from you. Yeah. Remember that. Yeah. Remember it. Thank y'all out there. There's a delay. I look much better on the screen out there than in here, I promise you. All right. Watch what he said, though. Write on a scroll to be remembered. Make sure Joshua hears it. Isn't it interesting he said that? Make sure Joshua hears it. You want to know why? Because Joshua was so in the fight, he didn't know the real battle that was taking place. Why did Joshua need to know? I'll tell you why. Because later on, Joshua was going to be the one that when Moses died was going to take over leadership, and he was going to take them into the promised land. And guess what? They had battle after battle after battle after battle. And God wanted him to know, hey, listen, I'm the banner. You win because of me. And you're going to need to know that, because I have a whole lot of battles for you in the future. And you need to know I'm the one that you look to, because we need others to come around and hold our hands up. All right, last one, as our worship team comes up here. Three lessons learned from the battlefield. Number one, what you focus on up here determines whether you win the battle or not. Number two, we need others to support us and remind us who the battle belongs to. And number three, we see that we're just going through the story. Give the glory to the one who gave you the ability. Amen. Give the glory to the one who gave you the ability. Exodus 17, 15, Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. God gave you that. Watch this. God gives us, he gives you a talent. He gives you ability. He gives you insight. Watch this. God is the giver. Watch this. It's important. We're the steward. We steward what God gives us. Well, Pastor, I worked hard for my education. I worked hard for my job. You did. You did. And we're proud of you. God's proud of you for it. But let me tell you how this works. God gave you the ability. The only reason you had the mental capacity to do it is because God created you to have it. Yeah. And your gift back to him is to take it and do the best you can with it and give him glory for it. Amen? Amen? Now watch this. I love it. I actually kind of enjoy this whenever like a athletic event or something happens, you know, a game, and they go to interview him after, and they're like, tell me about the game. And they go, the first thing I want to say is I want to give thanks to my Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe I shouldn't like this, but when I kind of like it when the interviewer gets aggravated with that. And they're like, well, you know, you want to talk about God and your faith and all that kind of stuff, you know, but we want to hear about the game. So tell me about the game. And it's almost like, no, the only reason I have the ability to run, jump, throw, whatever it is because he gave it to me anyway. He can take it away as quick as he gave it, all right? So I want to give him all the glory. Do. Maybe you're here. You find yourself in a battle. Maybe you find yourself tired in a battle. You've been battling, and you're just tired. You've been raising kids, and you've been trying to do all this, and you're just tired. Anybody in here with more than one kid? You have more than one kid. You're tired. You're tired. I have four kids. We're tired. We went to lunch with my youngest yesterday, and she was telling me something. I'm like, baby, we're just tired. Just do whatever you want. No, I didn't tell her she could do whatever. No, I did. But then I said, not really. Not really. Just tired. Jesus, just you raise them, Lord, at this point. Just tired. What do I do? Look to him. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Do what happened. Maybe we need some others to hold up our arms and be obedient to his leading. I think the thing that just comes alive, the first story that just jumps off to me when this happens is, and I know I've shared this story before, we have so many new people all the time, it's good for me to share it again. I remember moving into here. Boy, you want to talk about a battle. Man, I remember we were in Beckendorf Junior High and God had been blessing a couple years. We had a couple services, 400, 500 people or so come in, and man, we bought this place and worked with the banks and the architects and blah, 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 all the stuff we had to do, and broke ground in the fall of 2019. And we were rolling, man. November and December and then January 2020 and February 2020. And there's this little event that happened in March of 2020. Anybody remember that little event called COVID? Everything shut down, right? The schools were shut down. We could not have school. And everybody was mad about everything. Remember that? And everybody was mad at me. Stuff I couldn't even do. What? We should be having church. Like, nobody, like, no one loves having anything. You're having church. We're mad. You're not having church. We're mad. A mask? I'm mad. No mask? I'm mad. You're breathing? I'm mad. No breathing? I'm still mad. I mean, it was just everybody's mad. And I remember we're kind of trying to get going. After a couple months, the church allowed us to have a service on a Saturday night. And I was so excited. And we invited people to come. And man, we ended up about 100 people. Okay, we used to 400 or 500 people. We have 100 people. We're in the middle of a building project. And we're in the middle of a building project. We got hung up on one thing, which was supposed to take 2 weeks. It ended up taking 3 months. Because remember how things worked back then? You know, it's like Fort Bend. They were like, okay, well, you got to bring the stuff, and then we're going to spray it down with mace, and then we got to sit back and wait for 3 weeks. Then we come back, and then we're going to dunk it in some other stuff, and then we're going to wait 3 more weeks, and then we're going to come back, and we'll look at it, and we'll think about it. Then you got to take it. Then you got to spray it. Then you got to... Y'all remember all that stuff? All that's happened. And boy, I remember moving into like getting ready for this place and how much it was going to cost and all the things that were going on. And I remember meeting here, and I see Brandon was here, and Bill, I think he's on vacation on a beach right now. I said, Bill, all right, enjoy yourself, Bill. Anyway, and Vim's over here. And boy, you remember those days, huh, Vim? Every day meeting out front right there, and we're talking, and I remember getting in front of the camera. All of a sudden, I became a TV preacher. Never thought I'd never wanted to be one, but here I am. You know, like every other pastor. And I would get on there and I'd be like, and God's with us and he's for us and we're going to move forward in boldness in Jesus' name and God's going to show up. They cut the camera and be like, Lord, you better show up. I get up every morning. I had a little app on my phone, not when I was driving, at home. And so I'd hit it and there'd be a verse of the day and I'd quote that verse. Did this every day. not knowing who's are we going to move into this place and the bank take it back over 2 weeks later? You know, who knew? And I'm sitting, I would quote that, and I would remind God, God, this was your idea. I just want to remind you, Lord, it wasn't mine. This was yours. And I can remember the time, and I'm looking at my friend over here, Vim, and this guy, Brandon, and I can't tell you the times that would come to the table, and sometimes one of us would be discouraged. And I'd tell you the times that your pastor would be discouraged, and the Vims and the Brandons, and they would just, no, we're moving forward. We're going to do this. We're going to move forward. And I remember times they would be discouraged, and I remember, are we going to have the money? And I thought to myself, if I have to sell plasma every week until we get into this place, we're going to do it. And I remember we would just encourage one another, encourage, hold each other's arms up. Well, how'd you get through it all? Jehovah Nissi. Yes, our banner. Our banner. God, this is for you. This isn't for us, God, it's for you. And we've seen thousands of people give their hearts to Jesus since. It's not us. It's not Joshua. Man, we kicked butt and took names down there. And then Moses reminds us, nah, it's about what happened on the hill, not what happened in the valley. And you know what? He's our banner. And guess what? He'll always be our banner. Wherever God does with us, whatever God opens up for us, how we expand, whatever God does, you want to know? Church of the King, Church of Jehovah Nissi, Church that's our banner. Because we'll win the battle with him. Amen.